Our second lesson for today comes from Matthew's Gospel again, the story of Jesus' baptism. Join with me in chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." As we stride right out into a new year, in some respects, maybe a do-over from 2022. I don't know. But I can't help but wonder how many of us might make some decision in our life differently if we were able to live it again or do it over. I'm guessing we probably all fit into that. That must apply to all of us, I'm guessing. But I'm not talking about just whether we had the Dutch apple pie or the cherry cheesecake, you know, back at a holiday party. We've all made decisions with some kind of weight that probably we would like to take back at some point in our lives. Maybe it was something we said that deeply hurt somebody we loved. Maybe it was a choice that gave us a path that we really didn't want to go down. Maybe it was a choice that gave us, or maybe it was something we took for granted. Maybe it was someone we took for granted and didn't realize it until it was too late to truly appreciate it. Maybe we just, you know, do not like the way a significant choice affected our life. I don't know. But if we say we have never made any serious choices that we would like to reconsider, I'm not sure we're being as honest with ourselves as we should be. I'm not saying we should all be living with a pile of regrets. No, far be it. But we all have done things and said things and chosen things that we would handle differently if we could go back and live it again. I think that's why there's so many stories of time travel in popular culture. The only reasons really to ever consider going back in time are either to sightsee or to make changes. And you can guess which is more pleasing, yeah, or more pressing. Certainly, you know, we cannot help all of the ways that we have made and continue to make and will always make mistakes. And some of those failures are bigger than others and might be ones we wish we could take back. But one thing that we should never, ever, 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 ever want to take back or to take away is baptism. Even the baptisms that are so shocking that they will always be remembered, such as those baptisms at Grace Baptist Temple in Blackstone some years ago, where they had that electrical short in their heated baptistry pool, and the preacher who wore rubber waders never realized that those who entered the waters looking for a little Holy Spirit action got more than they bargained for. I don't think anybody was harmed, but they did say feel more alive after being baptized. But for the rest of us, baptism is one of those things that is so precious, so important, Because we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus and stepping out into faith. Even those of us who were baptized as babies, as infants, as I was, we have the opportunity to recommit, to remember, to re-cherish that gift of baptism. That's what we're doing today, later in the service. Holding again to baptism in gratitude. In our Reformed tradition, we're baptized only once. But we can renew as many times as we want. Ideally, we should be living out that grace of baptism every day. But the one time that water washes over us is something that blesses us the rest of our lives. And to be honest, we really couldn't go back if we wanted to. There is a reason why. You never get your girlfriend's name tattooed on your body unless you plan to only and always date girls of the same name. Still, that tattoo will come off with the right procedure. Baptism, on the other hand, will never expire, will never be undone, will never wash off. In fact, it is how we are washed off. A very fine point about baptism is that it is really, really, really something permanent. This is because baptism is also a kind of death. Baptism is the path of no return. 20th century theologian Karl Barth pointed out that to those who are not ignorant, the sign of baptism speaks of death. To be baptized means to be immersed, to be sunk in a foreign element, to be covered by a tide of purification. The man who emerges from the water is not the same man who entered it. One man dies and another is born. Baptism bears witness to us of the death of Christ. He that is baptized is drawn into the sphere of this event, overwhelmed and hidden by the claim of God. He disappears and is lost in this death. Because we die with Christ in his baptism, we also are raised by Christ in his life. We die to sin, to death, to the former life, and to the ways of the world. We are still in this world, but we are not of this world. Our home, our life, our future, our hope, our faith, our love is all in Christ, our baptized Lord. There is truly no going back, no undo button, no rewind, no official review, no overturning that call. Okay, Pastor, I get it. Baptism is one path, one decision. We don't get to cancel. And there's a big reason for this. In our first lesson, everyone just knew that when that southern kingdom of Judah was captured and hauled off to Babylon as slaves, that was the end. That was it. Life as they knew it was over. The king had been blinded in humiliation. The best and the brightest were all gone. The nation lay in shambles, penniless. Judah was up a big creek with no paddle, no rudder, and no sail. There was no coming back, and not much of a future either. And this is where God unleashed one of the most powerful passages in Isaiah. It turns out that God's best work is always in the future. God's established servant is coming with justice to the nations and will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. This is a beautiful passage about a servant who is delicate enough to not extinguish a dimly burning wick, but is also an unstoppable force for God's good. Jesus clearly picks up this ministry in his time, and as people in Christ Jesus today, we carry on in his work as well. Yes, I just said the passage in Isaiah is also about you and me. Where there is no going back, God provides a way, justice for all people, restoration, reconciliation, the freeing of people, light to the nations, sight to the blind, safety and salvation by the hand of God. The people who had lost everything gained even more. They were given a beautiful and glorious hope, even as they seemed to lose their way. While those who were hauled off never returned to the land of Judah themselves, their children and grandchildren did. God provided such a way that we are still on that way today, living out God's promise as people of promise. That's what baptism means for us. It is our future from a past that can never hold us. Every sin that breaks us or holds us back is washed away. We are freed to be God's freedom people, working for justice for all people. And that is worth repeating. We are freed to be God's freedom people, working for justice for all people. This is the beautiful part of God adopting, hurting, broken, sinful children to be the bearers of God's truth and light and life. There is not a whole lot that I can do to fix this world, certainly not by myself. What I can do, though, is pretty special. I can sit with someone in their darkness, in their blindness, in their imprisonment, in their brokenness, in their hurt, fear, and doubt. I can sit with someone in their grief, illness, and hunger. I can sit with someone in their powerlessness. I can sit with someone dreaming for righteous change. While I don't always do this as well as I should, God has chosen me for this grace, and God has chosen you too. Chosen you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and us all. This is God's justice that values the lives of all of God's children. Just being willing to sit with someone is the first step to changing the world. The kingdom of God is built in relationships. The love of God is expressed in service. Anyone who is in Christ can do all of that and more. Anyone who has been washed and loved into new life can hold another life, even one that has gone down a difficult path, even a path that seems like a dead end, and be the hope that says there's always a way forward in Jesus. We always have a way forward in our Lord together. God's promise, God's hope, God's salvation, God's grace are all greater than anything in this world. Just try to go somewhere where God cannot find you and love you and give you a future. Just try to go somewhere that we cannot follow as baptized children in Christ. Just try to go down any hopeless path and find out that every path leads home in the heart of God. We are walking together, friends, all of us, everyone, and to God be the glory. Amen.